From WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Carolina Beach is the largest of the three beach towns in New Hanover County. At a population of about 6,300, it's around three times the size of the county's next largest, Wrightsville Beach, and 95% white, according to the U.S. Census. Median household income is $62,000 a year, higher than nearby Wilmington. The town is governed by a council made up of four members and a mayor. This year, four people are competing to be the next mayor of Carolina Beach. We'll meet them today. In the 2017 election, political newcomer Joe Benson beat the incumbent Mayor Dan Wilcox. 2 years later, Benson is not running for a second term. Our first mayoral candidate today, Tom Ellickson, who ran unsuccessfully for town council in 2015, has worked as a nuclear engineer at Aaron Engineering. He served in the commercial nuclear industry for about 30 years. He is a member of the Island Men's Charity Organization and co-chaired the town's Operations Advisory Committee. He's now president of a local nonprofit. Before his time in Carolina Beach, he served as a city council member in Hudson, Ohio, where he co-founded the Hudson Economic Growth Board. He is married and has one daughter. Today's interview is pre-recorded. So, Tom Ellickson, you ran for a seat on Carolina Beach Town Council in 2015, didn't win. According to the Star News, you filed this year on the last possible day. Was this a difficult decision, and what led you to pull the trigger?
Well, yeah, it is a difficult decision because, you know, we have a nice, comfortable life living on the island, and anytime you get involved in anything in the community, you know, it's a large personal sacrifice. So it takes a lot of, you have to be very, very sure about what you want to do.
And what are you sure about? What is it that you want to do?
Well, primarily, you know, I want to make sure that the town is able to successfully complete the large infrastructure projects that it will be undertaking over the next several years. And I believe that, as you mentioned, my 30 years of engineering experience, where I'm responsible for managing projects and making sure they get done successfully, right the first time and on budget and on schedule. I believe that those are good skills that our next mayor will definitely need. So that's the primary reason I'm running.
The town has fired two managers less than a year apart. What's going on there, and how would your presence as part of town council, as mayor, make a difference there?
Right. Well, I mean, that kind of gets into the second reason I'm running. You know, I've seen in the time that we've been in the town, there's a lot of, I guess, warning signs going on that maybe the town's not on the right path. You know, that so losing two town managers in the last year and three in 7 years is one sign. We've lost a large portion of our police force, seasoned police force, over the last couple of years. We've, you know, our reserve fund was in 2014, it was at over 70%, and now it's down to, as of last year, around 21%, and then prompted the treasurer of the state of North Carolina to write a letter of concern to us. And then, you know, we have the lake dredging project we struggled with. And so there's all these things. And I guess if you take those separately, maybe they don't mean much. But to me, they're all red flags. And when you combine them all together, it shows a pattern of what's going on in the city. And I think it just screams that we need new leadership. So I just think putting new people in with fresh ideas and fresh energy will make a big difference.
So if you, let's say that you win the mayoral seat, mm-hmm. and you get one free pass. In other words, you get one thing that you get to finish the way you want to finish it. What is that one thing?
The one thing to finish. There's so many things, but I guess, you know, primarily I would like to see us, I would like to take my experience in managing projects. I know the way we do things in the private industry, and I'd like to sit down with the town manager and compare notes and make sure, you know, go over their procedures that they're using and make sure they're using, you know, industry best practices. And so we can get these projects done successfully. And I think if something like that had been in place, it would have made a big difference with the dredging of the Carolina Beach Lake.
Well, tell us what went wrong there. I mean, that was a project that was originally supposed to cost about $2.7 million.
Right.
Now, more than a year late and a couple of years later, mm-hmm. we're looking at finishing it for between $3.1 and $4 million.
Yes.
So what went wrong?
Well, it's there's two things primarily. I mean, what we do like in private industry, again, is we'll have, before a large job starts, we'll have a pre-job brief. And so everyone sits down and you go over the schedule. And the schedule is not a one piece of paper with bullet points on it saying, well, we might start now, we might finish then. It's a week by week, line by line schedule, has a start date and end date, and has a person's name assigned to it. So there's attention to detail and there's accountability. And the other thing you do with a pre-job brief is you go to the contractor, can you meet the schedule? And that's number one. And number two, what risks are there? Because things come up you don't anticipate. So there's always project risks. And you need to go over those things. But what I see happen on the dredging project, they were supposed to start dredging in late March. I think maybe March 27th or March 29th in 2017. And the very first day they were supposed to start dredging, they didn't start dredging. And they told the council or the mayor or the manager that their equipment was out for repair. So how do you miss the very first start date of the very first item in your schedule? Something like that would have come up or should have come up in a pre-job brief, either as a project risk or we can't meet that date, we have other things going on. So that's where things started going downhill. I just from the very get-go, really. Other things, you should have weekly status meetings. And in the nuclear industry, when we do large projects, especially if we're moving stuff around, we do a site walk down. So you have boots on the ground. And so you, in this case, you'd walk around the lake. This is where the trucks will park. And you walk around the Matsu property. This is where the dredging spoils will be going. And so everyone's clear and on the same page and knows what's going on. So I think possibly, and I have to talk to the town manager and compare notes, and I think if you'd use those best practices, a lot of what went wrong could be avoided in the future. On we have a lot of future projects coming up.
Now, you were instrumental in starting to craft a plan for stormwater management. We all know mm-hmm. that's a huge issue in Carolina Beach. Whenever we have a major rain event coming to the Cape Fear region, we know there are streets in Carolina Beach that are going to flood prodigiously, and probably some of the most egregious flooding in the region there. What have you done and what still needs to get done to manage that better?
So what we did when I was on the Operations Advisory Committee, we drafted a stormwater and flooding report, and I was a key author on that. And as part of that, I went outside on a boat. I went touring up and down the Canal Drive and Florida Avenue sides, photographing the bulkheads, kind of an informal bulkhead survey. And that information got put together for PowerPoints for the committee and for council. And I think it clearly showed the effects of lower versus higher bulkheads. And ended up as one of our recommendations was to study further the bulkheads and come up with some maybe bulkhead standards and regulations. And so there's great work going on now with the Canal Drive Flooding Committee to follow up on that. So we need to follow through with that. And we need to, but whatever plan gets put in action, I think the key part is to make sure you follow through with it and just, get it implemented successfully.
The town has had some issues with pedestrian safety, mm-hmm. and pedestrian improvements are on the agenda for the town. Are the DOT financial issues, cash flow problems, going to affect the town of Carolina Beach in that way? Or how will you manage pedestrian improvements going forward?
Right. Well, the main road going through town is, we can't really do anything on that road without DOT approval, right? But there are things that need to be done. Several of the crosswalks are not well lit, so they can be, that's not a very huge expense. Other issues that we've had are people at the guarded crosswalks where we have the traffic lights and major intersections, people turning off the side road onto the Carolina Beach Road, are they distracted or are they paying attention? So there is things that we have under our complete control on those side streets. We can put in some kind of traffic calming measures, sometimes they're called, whether they're small rumble strips or narrowing of the road just to wake people up and make sure they're focused on driving as they're turning around the intersection. So as far as the finances go, that would be something that we would have to talk about and look into.
Availability of parking in Carolina Beach has also been an issue. How would you address that?
And that's a huge thing that I have some strong opinions about. And But I really think what we need to do is, right now this year, we barely had enough parking. But a lot of that parking that we do have is private lots, which could easily go away overnight, right, as soon as those properties are developed. And so the town is going to need more town-owned parking. And I would like us to project 5 and 10 years into the future to make sure we meet our parking needs. And as the next mayor, I would actually propose and form early on an ad hoc committee to study the parking. And I think ad hoc committees work best if you give them a deadline and a very specific purpose. And the purpose would be, I would give them 120 days, so 4 months. But I would like them to come back to us with three specific proposals about how to increase the parking. And I would also like them to make sure that those proposals address our parking needs 5 and 10 years down the road.
Carolina Beach, we just have a couple minutes left, mm-hmm. recently completed a beach nourishment project. Are there other strategies the town can use for shoreline management to protect its biggest asset?
Well, that's just a very difficult thing to do. I think right now the best solution does seem to be periodic beach renourishment. And the key to that is just to make sure we have available funding. I haven't heard any other proposals of any other things that we could be doing to firm up the shoreline.
Does the town have infrastructure that can live through a major storm, Category 3 or higher? And is that something Carolina Beach needs to be planning for?
I think the town infrastructure is, where we have the EOC and the police department and the fire department, they're easily capable of, I think, withstanding a Category 3 hurricane. So the thing is, as far as the town facilities go, we're in good shape. I mean, there's pump stations that could be submerged and flooded if we lose power, we lose our pumping capacity. But those are things I don't think there's any practical way to overcome. But the major pieces of, I think, are safe.
And that's our time. You're listening to the 2019 Coastline Candidate Interviews. Tom Ellickson, thanks so much for sharing your views with us
today.
Thanks
for having me.
Still ahead, TD Scaringi, Doreen Stanley, and current town council member Leanne Pierce, whom we'll meet next. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.